As we continue worshiping, receive these words from the Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning in the 27th verse. But I say to you that listen, do to others as you would have them do to you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood arose, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell. And great was the ruin of that house. Receive what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
Loving God, you are the reason we sing. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we woke up this morning, because you love us and you have given us another day as a gift. So we say thank you, and we ask that in these moments of reflection and worship that you would move among us, that you would set your Spirit upon my humble words, that they might be an offering to you and a blessing to your people. Receive us all in these moments as we attend to what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. But I say to you that listen, do to others as you would have them do to you. Throughout this whole Becoming Beloved series, we have heard these words read, these two lines from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. Listen, do. And while we've not necessarily focused on those words specifically, they've been a common thread throughout all the teachings of Jesus that we have explored together. Today, the final section of teaching in Jesus' sermon makes the connection between listening and doing explicit. Jesus calls out those who call him Lord, but don't do what he teaches. This seems an appropriate text for this day when traditionally we celebrate the reign of Christ. And when many among us, both at this service and at the next service, will be affirming or reaffirming the promise to serve Jesus Christ as Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, orientations, and races. What does it mean to call Jesus Lord? It's a walk your talk kind of message we receive today. And walking our talk, of course, is a matter of integrity. Are you taking the teachings of Jesus to heart, into your inward center, and allowing them to shape and inspire your outward actions? This has been the thread over all these weeks. Do your words, what you say you value, what you say you desire, does that match what you actually do with yourself and your stuff? I can't help but think of Stephen Colbert's statement. Many of you will know it. He said this. He said, if this is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that he commanded us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it. Had you heard that before? Some of you may have heard that before. As I recall, these words were spoken in the context of folk who assert that the United States is a, quote, Christian nation. That's the first mistake. But his words also highlight for us, of course, one of many disconnects between our stated values and our actions as a nation. We won't get into all of it today. We could name what's been happening at the border. We could name environmental policy. We could name voter suppression. We could name children going hungry in our own backyards. We could go on and on. His words also shine a light on people who call themselves Christian, but ignore the teachings of Jesus, acting in ways that directly contradict them. Whether it's a nation, a church, or an individual, actions speak louder than words. What we do speaks. The metaphor Jesus uses to teach in this piece of the sermon is a foundation for a house. Those who listen and act upon Jesus' words are like one who is willing to do what? To do what? Build on a rock. Okay, that is true. But notice this. The first thing that Jesus points out is that the one who listens and acts upon Jesus' words are like one who is willing to dig deeply. That comes first. To dig deeply. This is no quick or shallow activity requiring no effort or time. In order to get to the solid place, there's some digging required. There's some excavation. There's a willingness to keep at it and to go deep. This is much of what we've been thinking about together over these past weeks. It's the work of paying attention to how our circumstances affect our hearts. It's the excavation and extraction of bitterness and hatred and prejudice and blinding fear from our inward center, trusting on God to do that which we can't do ourselves. It's a willingness to get real and to own our stuff as citizens and as communities, as persons. And all of this and more is not the stuff of shallow study or of proof texting scripture or of checking a went to church box. It's the work of allowing the Word of God revealed in Jesus to cut through all our rationalizations and defenses and to change our lives. In the process of that deep work, the bedrock is discovered, offering a firm foundation. A firm foundation is a foundation based on something real and solid and true, not on illusions or empty promises or lies. And Lord knows there are plenty of temptations, plenty of voices urging us to throw up a house on a shiny patch of sand with a nice water view and to buy the sales pitch that that spot hasn't been stolen from others and that the waters here never rise. And that the grace of this plot is cheap and it will satisfy all you need to thrive without your ever having to do any maintenance or further investment of yourself. That sounds good. Jesus honors us enough to believe that we'll see through that garbage. And says, in essence, listen deeply and let my words, let my love, let my mercy, let my grace give you the courage and the strength to be real, to face the truth, and to act in ways that build something that lasts, a life that lasts to build a life on the solid rock of justice and compassion and gentleness and stewardship of the earth and love of God and love of neighbor. This all matters because when flood waters come, and they will, when we're paddling as fast as we can but can't keep up, when powerful forces are overwhelming us, when the stuff of life makes us feel like we're drowning, the house built on that solid foundation will stand. When the waters ebb, we will have come through whole. Blowing off the words of Jesus, being unwilling to do what it takes to build our house well, leaves us vulnerable and weak when trouble comes near. And y'all, it's not that living by the teachings of Jesus to be loving, to be non-retaliatory, to be merciful, to be generous, to be forgiving, humble, self-aware, and persons of integrity. It's not that doing those things, acting in those ways, it's not that that is going to keep us from getting hurt or from being disappointed or being damaged. It's that no matter what happens, our foundation will hold us. Our sense of meaning and purpose will help us keep perspective. The love that has been given us, that we hold in our inward center, will be solid, keeping us from completely falling apart. I just keep hearing that line from the hymn, "Our anchor holds within the gale." Think of anyone you've seen in your life, a public figure, or someone in your personal life who you have seen persevere with grace and with love in the face of persecution. Think not only of the fact that they are able to stand fast with the waters breaking against them, but also think about the witness that they make in the world. I also think of the gospel-inspired teaching of Martin Luther King, who famously taught that that returning hate for hate multiplies what? Hate. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Our hateful actions multiply hate. What we do is fuel. Where we put our energy is like gasoline on whatever fire we go near. We can stoke the light and warmth of love and justice and peace with our energy. Or we can stoke the destructive fires of hatred and fear and greed. Those are human choices. Our actions, what we do with our time, with our energy, affects not only our own selves, our own household, but also the communities in which we live. We know this, I think. It's important to remember that every action we take is energy. It's fuel for something. Our actions affect the communities in which we live. Our actions affect the integrity of the household of God. It's one reason why so many people who have put their energy into destructive fires and still call themselves Christians have done such damage to the Christian faith in the world. What we do affects the integrity of the household of God. We can burn the house down, or we can light and fuel a warming fire at its center. I know I'm mixing metaphors here. We got a little flood, we got a little fire. Our goal here at Foundry is to create and to nurture beloved community. A community that is fully inclusive, anti-racist, anti-colonial, humble, joyful, committed, faithful, generous, peacemaking, just, sacrificial, a community of integrity where love is not just a word that we speak, but is the beating heart of all our actions. We know that in community, this is the work not of a day or a week or a year, this is the work of lifetimes, of generations, across years. Every generation has to make sure the foundation remains sound. They need to check for fissures and for erosion, needs to make sure the foundation is solid and sure enough to hold the new structures and challenges and revelations of the age. That is our work in these days. And each one of us has a role to play. We do our part by doing our own work and having integrity around our own promises to participate fully in this shared life with our presence, our prayers, our what else? Gifts, service, and witness. We do our part by showing up when we are called to stand in solidarity and advocacy with our neighbors, right, Pastor Ben? We do our part by taking seriously our mission to love God and love each other. And frankly, simply showing up here in community is a really important piece of all of that. You know, we may tend sometimes to think of coming to church or being in worship even as something we do for ourselves. I need to go worship to take care of myself. And my hope is that what happens in this place on this day and every day of the week will nourish your life, your faith, your growth. But I was recently reminded that our active participation in faith community isn't ultimately something we do for ourselves. Writer Kathleen Norris remembers a pastor once saying that we go to church for other people because someone may need you there. I think y'all were singing about that a little bit a minute ago. Someone may need you here today. Someone may be encouraged just to see your face or to share a conversation over coffee or connect about things you're trying to manage at work or at home or dealing with a health issue or the complicated realities of dating. Someone may need you to see them, to receive them, to call them by name if you know it, or to greet them warmly if you don't. Our act of getting ourselves here to Foundry or whatever faith community you call home is a concrete act of love of God and for each other. Someone may need you here. If our collective commitment is to show up for each other, then it means that others are going to show up for you. You get that? If we really are committed to that as a community, and if all of us come willing to own our own stuff, to do our work, to offer ourselves in love to God and each other, letting love and justice flow into all our actions in the world, then we might rightly claim Jesus as Lord. We might rightly claim we're actively becoming beloved community. And that kind of community withstands all the storms that rage across the years. That kind of community is one that offers hope and nourishes lives. That kind of community changes the world. May it be so by the grace of God. Amen.